dancing glimmers of joy in birthday candles and homemade cars.
Today, we light the candles of hope, just peace, and joy as a reminder of this good news.
Won't you help May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a careful world, just joy, is here, joy is real, we only have to look for it. Redemption song.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
The candles burn with some light of hope, peace, and joy. This hymn helps us learn and warm and encourage. Come thou long expected, Jesus invites us to as our candles burn with the light of hope, peace, and joy, this hymn helps us lead into longing and courage. Come that long expected Jesus invites us to welcome love again into a fearful world. Let's stand in body.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah? I just don't want to mess with anything. But I can do that. Because I'm okay having it in my mind. Oh, this is why they like to stand. I want to put it down. Tipping redemption day. Oh, one quick thing before we. Was it this one? No. Ah, so many songs. Our Spirits by Thine Advent.
kneel down.
Shall
Watch any parent. It starts with the first step. They kneel down, they smile with anticipation. They reach for their baby, calling and cooing them forward. And then, before they know it, they're running behind a bike. They're yelling, "Keep pedaling, you got it, I'm right here." And they're jumping up and down because that little red helmet passed the mailbox. And then, just like that, they're driving circles in the church parking lot. They're giving instructions about easing on and off the pedal. They're having conversations about curfew and heartbreak. And then, before they know it, they're standing in a hospital room. Their heart is bursting. And they say, "Put her head right here. Rock her gently. Do you remember the nursery rhymes? You were born for this." The first step is always the hardest. But you, beloved, were born for this.
Y'all please stand and help us sing this next one. This is based off of Beethoven's 9th Ode to Joy, and I think you'll recognize the melody here. So if you just follow along with the lyrics and help us with the melody, I think it should go pretty well. Here we go.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the darkest out away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Joy surround the earth, in heaven reflect thy rays. stars and angels string around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, field and mountain, flowery meadow, crushing sand, string bird of the flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, we adore thee. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean, depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory. We adore thee, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory. Mortals join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us, brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
In a world full of fear, where do you see glimmers of joy? I see glimmers of joy in birthday candles and homemade cards.
I see joy in the laughter of children and the delight of grandparents. I see joy in the meals around the table and in the singing of Christmas songs.
You are right. Even in a fearful world, joy is all around us.
Today, we light the candles of hope, peace, and joy as a reminder of this good news.
May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, joy is here, joy is real, we only have to look for it.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
As our candles burn with the light of hope, peace, and joy, this hymn helps us lean into longing and courage. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, invites us to welcome love again into a fearful world. Let's stand in body or spirit and sing together this hymn of love.
Come, the long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, thank you.
to those who long to see the day spring from on high appear. Come, thou promised rod of Jesse, of thy birth we long to hear. O'er the hills the angels singing, news glad tidings.
Well, good morning. Good morning to all of you joining us online as well. My name is George Dominguez. I use pronouns he, him, and I'm so glad to be back from Brazil. I'm also glad to see all of you here today. It's so good to be back. And now it's the time in our service when we invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries. Our musicians will help us with this special song and walking music that we will sing on our children on their way.
And if you've noticed the Advent verses, if you've been here, there's a new one. It's just one word, so it's pretty easy. But sing along if you want. Here we go. One, two, one, two. Walking time, see me shine, kind and bright. Sunlight, Advent time, joy will shine, purple light, waiting for the divine. Walking time, see me shine, kind and bright, I'm a ray of sunlight. This
past two Sundays, I watched this service from Brazil, and I was thinking, well, it's springtime here in Brazil, not there in Sacramento. Well, we have two godly spaces at the church for the kindergarten through second grade, and also another one for the third through sixth grade, and caregivers can pick them up after worship. We are, as always, reminding people that we receive an offering in Godly Play to support the Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families experiencing homelessness. And we also have loving and professional care for young children at the A-frame. Of course, it's too cold for them to be on the playground this morning. We are at the time of the year that we are inviting all of you to consider your deep commitments to God, to our community of faith, and also the communities that we are called to serve in this coming year. It is about how we are going to engage with this mission that we have here at the table. And you can find the deep commitments on the church website. There is also a QR code that you can use to reach that. We are midway through our Advent journey, and we have several resources that we hope you'll find encouraging and helpful for your Advent reflection. There are links to our Advent devotional, and there is also an Advent Bible study that we are running through at the church during this month. There is also information about our Christmas offering in this QR code, but you can find that information on the table outside as well. During this Advent season, we have been purchasing gifts for the Tubman House and Aldrich Emporium. These are parents' ministries that provide housing and wraparound services for parents and children and youth experiencing homelessness in Sacramento. Those of you who have brought a gift, you can leave them here today. There are still some of the cards that people can use, and we will still be collecting those gifts on Monday morning from 11 to 1 p.m. here at church, or Wednesday before 12:30. So we will still be preparing those gifts so that this week we'll deliver them as well. For the last 2 months, we have been participating in this multi-faith prayer vigil for immigrants in front of the John Moss Federal Building. And this month, we are doing this again. It will be this coming Thursday, and we are actually doing something different this time. Because it is Christmas time, we will start at the National Shrine for Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Catholic Church on the Southside Park, and we'll participate in the Las Posadas celebration, which is the celebration of Jesus and Mary traveling to Bethlehem and finding a place to stay. So after that, we will walk through to the John Moss Federal Building and have our multi-faith prayer vigil there. So it starts at 2 p.m., and at 3 we started walking, we'll start walking, and on 3:30 we'll be at the Federal Moss Building for the prayer vigil. It involves other denominations, also other faith groups that are present there, and this is a way for us to continue to show our solidarity with migrants' siblings here in Sacramento. You can join at any time. If you can't be there at 2, if you can come only at 3:30, or if you can only be there at 2, feel free to join. There is a QR code in our newsletter that you can also RSVP there. And finally, we will be holding our annual church conference this afternoon at 12:30. We will be reviewing our budget, and we will also review our pastoral team compensation and hearing from our board about next steps to next year. There are some documents and an agenda that was sent out on the newsletter, and the meeting will also be live streamed via Zoom. So if you want to join via Zoom, you can actually just RSVP, and a link will be sent to you from the newsletter. I invite us to take a deep breath. This is a moment for us to notice the joy that is around us and to center as we prepare. So I invite you to remain seated as we sing Fear Not. This song reminds us that fear is real, but it doesn't rule us. God's presence meets us right where we are and carry us towards courage. Let us sing.
When life piles up, as you're feeling overcome, stand still and believe. I won't let you drown. When a cry is in your throat, watching all the waves below, lift your eyes to the sky and trust I won't pass you by. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Let me show you what I see. You can't dream too big for me. So get up, get on your way. We've got things to do today. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. I would, yeah. I would, yeah. Remember all I told you. Remember all I said. When the questions start arising, keep your eyes fixed straight ahead. Hold on tightly to the promise. Hold firmly to the truth that I love you. Oh, I love you. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would, yeah. I would, yeah. Fear not. If I could shout it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could shout it any louder, could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. I would, yeah. I would, yeah. Fear not. If I could shout it. If I could shout it any louder, I would, yeah, I would, yeah. Fear not. If I could say it any louder, I would. Fear not. If I could say it any louder,
as the angel Gabriel said, fear not. Amen. Good morning on this third Sunday of Advent. My name is Bob Martinez, pronouns he and him. Our reading this morning is from the first chapter of Luke, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Edition, the updated edition. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her, and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Love, and I am your guest preacher this morning, and my pronouns are she, her, and I am so glad to be with you, and not only with you all here, but you all worshiping online. It's a treat to be with you this morning. Our scripture lesson this morning ends with a comma. We don't usually do that. Without stopping to think about it or without ever bringing that into your conscious mind, I think we just take it as a given that our scripture readings on Sunday mornings end with a period. A comma says to me that there is more to come. A comma says to me that the sentence, the thought, the action, the story is unfinished. It is still unfolding. And today, this piece of scripture that tells part of Mary's story ends with a comma, or doesn't end. This year, our theme for the season of Advent is, "What Do You Fear?" The full title is, "What Do You Fear?" Insisting on hope. This Advent. As we arrive at this third Sunday in Advent, we have already heard from Pastor Greg and Pastor Penny exploring the interplay between hope and fear. My wife Katie and I have dabbled in the devotional resources that Georges mentioned that are available to you for this Advent season. So as Katie and I have dipped into the devotional resources, we have talked about our fears. There is so much to be afraid of. If I'm honest, I'm often afraid. I am afraid of things that are real and also of things only imagined. I am afraid of small things and I am afraid of large things. I'm afraid for myself and for the people I love and the people I know. And I am also afraid for people I may never know. And this last one is particularly alive in me in this time in the life of our nation. And I wrote that with ICE and immigrants in our communities at the forefront of my mind, and then in between writing that initially and now, the ever-present fear of mass shootings has leapfrogged again to the forefront. I said yes to preaching in this season and then on this date before I knew the theme, and to be honest, yeah. And to be honest, my reaction was really, I do not want to stand up in front of this or any congregation and focus on that question, what do you fear? I know I am not alone. Mary was afraid too. In our scripture reading this morning, we meet Mary, the one who is to be the mother of Jesus, as she is visited by the angel Gabriel. And the angel needs to say to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." The Reverend Dr. Bo-Young Lee writes this about this passage. When the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, her response is not immediate acceptance, but confusion, resistance, and fear. The text says she is greatly troubled, suggesting not just inner disturbance, but a deep bodily dissonance. Mary is not simply puzzled. She is shaken, thrown off balance, possibly afraid for her life, and with good reason. Mary was young, unmarried, and living under the weight of imperial and patriarchal control. To be told, without warning, that she would bear a child by divine initiative wasn't just a spiritual shock. It was a profound social and bodily risk. That from Bo-Young Lee. So the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid." And I say, easier said than done. And also, what kind of command is that anyway? Do not be afraid. Pastor Greg talked in a sermon some weeks ago about Methodist founder John Wesley's perspective on reason, on engaging our brains in the context of our faith and spirituality. Greg said that according to Wesley, our faith should always align with reason and should certainly never contradict reason. Contemporary psychology, in other words, one source of reason, contemporary psychology reminds us that emotions aren't good or bad. They just are. They are information. They are signals to be listened to. Emotions are to be felt and tended. This includes fear. Fear serves a useful function. It is designed to keep us safe. We don't want to get rid of that. So to say simply, "Don't be afraid," that contradicts reason. The amazing writer Cole Arthur Riley puts it this way. "I'm told the most frequent command from God in the Bible is, 'Do not fear.' Some have interpreted this as an indictment on those who are afraid, as if to say fear signifies a less robust faith. This offends me. God is not criticizing us for being afraid in a world haunted by so many terrors and traumas. I hear 'don't be afraid' and hope that it is not a command not to fear, but rather the nurturing voice of a God drawing near to our trembling. I hear those words and imagine God in all tenderness, cradling her creation against her breast." All of this fits with the perspective of the writers who developed this Advent worship theme. They write, "When Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the Magi are each called into God's redemptive story, they do not deny their fears. They move through them." I'm highlighting this because I think it is worth acknowledging that this represents a certain approach to biblical interpretation. I'm saying this because when I can, when I'm alert enough, I like to make explicit things that are assumed or implicit. And what I want to make explicit is that we are engaged in a particular approach to biblical interpretation. We draw on the Bible as sacred resource and a living witness that invites us into ongoing exploration and inspiration, into wonder, into insight. So to hear the biblical word, "don't be afraid," And hear that not as a command, but as invitation. Invitation to acknowledge that fear, and then from there to explore our responses. Hearing the biblical word in that way is an approach to biblical interpretation that I am convinced is deeply faithful. Today, our reading from Scripture ends with a comma. In the midst of this overarching Advent theme, the specific theme for today is, even in fear, we are called forward. We meet Mary today in a place of fear and of being called forward. We meet Mary as she receives life-changing news from the angel Gabriel. The text says that she is greatly troubled, and yet Mary steps forward anyway. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And when we part from Mary this morning, we read, in those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, comma. Even in fear, Mary sets out. Even in fear, we are called forward. I did not come up with the theme for today. It was given to me. It was the assignment for today. Yeah. And from the moment I received the theme, I thought, oh, I know where I have witnessed that movement and that truth, that even in fear, we are called forward. I don't know many of your individual stories, but I know our collective story pretty well here at the table. I'm thinking in particular of these last 10 months. We don't all feel the same things, so it doesn't quite work to generalize. And some folks here are brand new as of this morning. But when I think of us not just as individuals, but also as a body, as a community, I have witnessed in this body the movement of being called forward, even in fear. When we had a beloved pastor diagnosed with cancer, that could make us feel afraid. And when she died, our grief was threaded through with fear, right? Because church is supposed to be our bedrock. Church is supposed to be a source of stability and of hope, right? Or we sure want it to be. There have been so many emotions in this community this year, and fear is one of them. When we had a beloved pastor suspended, and we as a community learned that there had been struggles out of sight that shook our sense of the church, that could make us afraid. It's scary to wonder whether church can still be the source of reassurance and strength that we seek. It's scary when we're looking for something solid and it feels like the ground under our feet isn't quite firm, which I think is part of what we feel when church lets us down. I have specific memories of leaders among you speaking to the gathered body at various points in these last 10 months, including folks who aren't here this morning. I remember you. And through the lens of this morning's theme, those moments stand out in my memory as moments of being called forward. Even in fear, we've been called forward into worship week after week. I cannot overstate the way that music, that was great timing, the way that music has carried us forward, has continued to call us forward in these most difficult moments. We have been called forward to hear the words of Scripture and of proclamation, which, along with the music, have rooted us in grace and faith and love, offering compassion and encouragement and meaning-making. We have been called forward into a town hall meeting and then into the next one. We have been called forward into honest conversations in kitchen table small groups and in other gatherings, and called forward to tend the emotions and the people and the relationships. We have been called forward in community and as a community, tending one another and tending the body of Christ in this place. You all know more than many about what it looks like and feels like to be called forward even in fear. And you also know about the healing and hope, the growth and maturation that can be found as we are called forward. It is true that even in fear, we are called forward. In this season, we have been exploring the interplay between fear and hope. Krista Tippett is the host of the radio show and podcast On Being. This past summer, she offered a series, or she also calls it a course, on hope. In the first episode, she talks about hope this way. The hope that interests me, that I have learned from conversation by conversation, teacher by teacher across 20 years, that kind of hope attends to reality in all its complexity, and it makes a leap of imagination that has real-world consequences. Here's one way to define this hope. It looks the world full on. It looks reality in the face, and it refuses to accept that things have to be this way. And then this orientation of hope throws one's intelligence, one's energy, persistence, creativity, and courage behind that insistence. Isn't that what Mary does? She looks reality in the face, the reality of imperial and patriarchal rule, the reality of social and bodily risk, and she makes a leap of imagination. Mary looks the world full on, looks reality in the face, and refuses that things have to be this way. Her leap of imagination begins with saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And it doesn't stop there, because we know where her story goes after the comma. She goes to be with Elizabeth, her cousin. And then she takes that leap of imagination even further as she sings that song we have come to know as the Magnificat. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," she says. "God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. I see reality, and with a leap of imagination, I refuse to accept that things have to be this way." And isn't that also what this community has done? Haven't we also grabbed a hold of hope by attending to reality in all its complexity, as Krista Tippett says? And looking reality in the face, you all are taking a leap of imagination, digging in deep to what this church community is and what it can be. Even in fear, we are called forward. We are at a comma place. This church is at a comma place. Unlike Mary's story, we don't yet know exactly what comes after our comma. But like Mary in her comma place, we are called forward. Even in our fear, even with all the fears that plague us, personally and communally, like Mary, we move toward our people. And like Mary, we lean in to our connection to God, even rejoice in God. And like Mary, we too take a leap of imagination. We don't yet know exactly what the evolution of church will look like for this community next month or next year or the year after that. But what I do know is that this community of faith is called forward, and that from this orientation of hope, we together will throw our intelligence and energy and persistence and creativity and courage and faith into those leaps of imagination that God has in store for us. Amen. Here at the table, gathering around the Lord's table, there is enough room, enough food, enough love for everyone. Here at this table, you are wanted and welcomed. You are safe and loved. Here at this table, you belong. So, my friends, there is no need to fear here, for this is a joyful feast, and you are invited. Come, all are welcome.
Family of faith, we lay our hearts before God. We pour out the truth of our lives. Jeremiah said, I am only a boy. Moses said, who am I to do this work? Mary said, how can this be? We often say, but God, I'm afraid. But even when we are afraid, God invites us closer. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join me as we invite God to draw closer, to break in right here, right now. And let us pray together with one voice. Courageous God,
you invite us to live into our call.
You invite us to act, to serve, and to trust. Instead of responding with a resounding yes, we often hide our face. We dig our heels in. We look for someone else to volunteer. Spark courage in us. Remind us that every person is capable of making a difference. Remind us that even when we're scared, we are not alone. You invite us forward. With baby steps, we hope. We pray. Amen.
Remember, even when we doubt God's presence, even when we fail to notice God's fingerprints in this world, God is always moving closer to us. Hear and believe the good news this Advent season. Nothing can keep God's love away. We are seen. We are forgiven. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So let us recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor and all of us standing here together. May the peace of Christ be with you. And I invite you to share signs of peace and love and hope to those next to you. Thank you.
so in you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy One, the story of this season is not a new one. We've heard this tale before. We've seen the nativities, watched the plays, and sung the songs. The story of this season is not a new one, and yet we long to hear it as if it is. So spark our spirits awake. Call forth awareness, attention, and reverence in us. Allow us to hear this ancient tale with brand new ears. So today we ask that you speak your words of hope and joy again. Break through the chatter and the distraction of our weary minds and speak to us once more. And then, like the heavenly hosts, we will sing our thanksgivings.
God, if you tapped on my shoulder today, would my knees shake? Would my mind race? Would my voice waver? Or knowing the stories of all the faithful folks you've called before, would I be ready? It's hard to know, but what I do trust is that you are a God who calls. You called Mary and Moses, Jeremiah and Peter. You have called ordinary people throughout all of time. You've called artists and activists, poets and prophets, teachers and healers, young and old alike. And as you continue to call us, we will remind each other of your presence in our world, and we will sing a new song.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Hosanna.
God before us, replace the fear on our tongues with words of hope and songs of joy. As we come to this table, pour out your spirit on this bread and cup. Remind us that even in a fearful world, you are on the move. You are here, inviting us to the table, nourishing our spirits, reminding us that we belong, calling us by name. Instill this hope and good news in us, for this is a joyful feast.
Hope and joy, we lean forward, we listen for your word, and even if our voices shake, we boldly join our voices together in this contemporary translation of the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, O God, creative breath of heaven and earth, in the roar and the whisper, in the breeze and the whirlwind, we hear your name. Help us let go, clear the space inside. Creating a holy place within for your light to shine. Unite our I can to yours. so that we walk in unity with every creature and your creation. Give us the food we need to grow through each new day. Produce in us the wisdom and understanding we need at each new stage of our lives. Help us to let go of our past, the hidden guilt of our failures, just as we consistently release others of the knots of their guilt. Let us not become lost in busyness, in the surface appearance of things, but free us from what holds us back. May abundance, fertile growth, and glorious harmony return again and again in each new age. May this be the ground from which all our actions grow. Amen.
Loving God, pour out your Spirit on this table, on this simple bread and juice. Remembering the simple meal Jesus shared with his disciples as he continues to share with us today. For the thing we fear the most is distance from you. So draw near to us here at this moment. Fill this room with your Spirit and this table with Jesus' love. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. Now I want to remind us what we all know. All are welcome to God's table of love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. Those who have a lifelong practice of celebrating communion, those who are new to the practice, and all of us in between, because all really means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that whether you're here online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or any denomination to participate and come to the table. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers and juices in the cup. We invite you to take a piece of bread or a cracker and dip into the juice. Please then make your way around to the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, and then return to the pews when you're ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
I invite you to take whatever time you need as you pray along the sides, but I invite everyone to join me in a time of prayer. Loving God, in a world racked with fear, you gather us together. You set the table. You meet us here. You nourish our bodies as you nourish our spirits. You remind us that this is a joyful feast and that fear cannot win every time. So with renewed courage, with renewed hope, with renewed joy, send us out into the world. Help us to feed others as you have fed us. With gratitude, we pray. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries of the table, because what we're doing is investing into this community that we love so much. And it's the generosity of our community that allows us to lean into God's unfolding call in our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. So I encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in the offering plate or by giving online on the website. I'm also deeply thankful for Pastor Kelly being here today and sharing that inspiring word we needed. And I confess, as I was listening to you and realizing that my time here at the table is almost done, my last Sunday is December 28th, that I too am standing at that point of the comma, as we all are. And so I am pleased to say that we're about to take one more step past the comma. And I'd like to invite Becca Kramer, the chair of our Staff Parish Relations Committee, which is the way United Methodist Churches say personnel committee, and Pastor George Dominguez, Mike Harrell, and Kelly Love to join us up front.
So hello. Again, I'm Becca Kramer. I use she, her pronouns. And God works in some really creative and surprising ways, including we did not plan to make this announcement on the same day that we were talking about God making announcements to Mary. But as you all know, we have been in this process as we look, sadly, to Greg's end of time with us, and we'll have more in the coming weeks of what that looks like. But we've been discerning as a community about what our next chapter might look like and have shared that with Bishop Sandy and with her team that helps figure out pastoral appointments, which is the Methodist churchy way of saying how they do that like wedding dinner table seating chart type thing with the pastors and figure out who's going where. That normally happens later in the year, so we knew we were making it a little difficult. But again, in the spirit of God works in surprising and creative ways. Your leadership here met yesterday with our new pastoral team that will start next year. And I do mean team, because in the table's tradition of not fitting inside the usual boxes, our pastoral team is going to be something different than what we normally see, but also I think something that is very us in more ways than one. So Pastor George will be staying on. And he'll be joined in 2026 by Kelly Love. And we're not done yet, and by Mike Harrell. I 100% agree. Your board agrees as well. We're very, very excited. So as you all know, Kelly and Mike have both found their home at the table throughout the years and are just as steeped as George and Greg are in what makes us us, and it resonates deeply with them. And so they, as well as all of us, are going to be working together to live into a new model of pastoral leadership where we will have three part-time co-equal pastors. Yeah. So Kelly is going to officially join George on January 1st, so this is your last time introducing yourself as a guest preacher here. Also, that was scheduled well before this was known as well. And then Mike is also a district superintendent and needs a little bit of time to transition some of those duties, and so he will officially join July 1st, but will also be working with us in an unofficial capacity those first 6 months as well. So later today, we'll get a letter, that official letter with all the churchy language from the from our new district superintendent, because not you anymore. So we've now got Messiah Evans will be our district superintendent. So that'll be emailed out later today. If you want a hard copy, I have a couple of those. And I am also happy to answer questions about our new pastoral team. And it's also unusual. Normally in the Methodist Church, the new pastoral team is not here when we get to announce it, but this is very special that they're all here. You can chat with them outside afterwards, but let's give them one more warm welcome as a congregation.
See, I told you we were going to take a step past the comma, didn't I? This is a time of great joy and great celebration. So it's a time that we stand in body and spirit and sing our new redemption song.
To come out wrong. Won't you help us, please? Help us just to sing along a new redemption song. A new redemption song. Lord, we need a new redemption day. All redemption day, to bring redemption day.
Lord, we need a new redemption song. Lord, we've tried, it just seems to come out wrong. Won't you help us, please? Just to sing along a new redemption song, a new redemption song. Thank you.
So yes, as we go out from this time here, we are at a comma place with our story still unfolding. We do not yet know what comes after the comma. What we do know is that we are called from fear into hope, ready to throw our intelligence and energy and persistence and creativity and courage and faith into the leaps of imagination that God has in store for us.
Lord, we need a new redemption song. Lord, we try, just seems to come out wrong. Won't you help us, please help us just to sing along a new redemption song. A new redemption song.
I was going to harmonize, but I realized that's not what we did in practice. So do you want me to sing the lead for the verse two? Okay, I will do that next time.
Because I just stopped singing, right? They went to solo.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, it sounds
it
nice.
It felt like it, that was what like, I was supposed to do.
And then I was just like, I'm going to look at Brendan and see if he tells us what.
And he was kind of just like.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool.
Because at first, I wasn't sure if I was supposed to sing it by myself.
Okay, cool.
And stop singing.
And then you just let them take charge of this
fun. That's gonna be all right.